Man, we are so excited about this new series that we're going to go on a journey with over the next couple of months called Friendology. All right, Friendology. Now, you may think, what is Friendology? All right, we stole this word, okay? It is a made-up word, I think, all right? If you want to go ahead and look that up, you can, all right? I won't mind if you go on your phones and look it up. But it's called Friendology, and actually, Go Church Spring Hill is doing the same series that we are. So if you don't like what I have to say today, go online. Check out Jake's message. I'm sure it'll be a whole lot better, all right? Friendology. Man, what is friendology? Well, friendology is the study of friendships. Duh. You think, well, that makes sense. You know, we believe, and I hope you know, that we all need to have good friendships and grow strong friendships. Healthy friendships can make all the difference in life. In fact, friendships can change our lives, make our church what God created it to be, and friendships can literally save the world. Do y'all believe that? If you don't believe that, let me clue you in on a little movie that came out last weekend. In case you've been living under a rock, what I believe happened when I looked at the screen a couple days ago was there is a certain group of friends that can save the world. If you've been living under a rock, check this out, and you'll see what I mean.
I used to have nothing, and then I got this family.
In 5 days.
We owe to everyone we lost to take a stand.
We're the Avengers.
We gotta finish this.
This is the fight of our lives.
Every journey has an end.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
I miss that giddy optimism.
Avengers Endgame, rated PG-13, everywhere Friday.
All right, man, Avengers Endgame. Movie made $1.22 billion opening weekend, 4 days. I hope you just kind of wrap your head around that, all right? People are packing into theaters to see this group of friends, these heroes whose friendship saves the world, or do they? No spoiler alert here, all right? You can go see it yourself. We don't just go to see those heroes do what they do with their powers, but we go to experience their friendship. I mean, over the last 11 years, 22 movies, we've seen the Avengers and all they've been through and the experiences they've had together through thick and thin. And it's just been an amazing storyline. I don't know if you're a superhero person or not, but it's just been an amazing journey with them. And what we've come to find out is that these men and women, they matter to each other. Their powers matter. Their friendships matter. Especially, they've learned to depend on each other. Look, y'all, friendships matter. Friendships matter especially if you're going to save the world. Friends will do whatever it takes to accomplish the mission, whatever it takes to get through life. And in a way, I believe friendship is a superpower that all of us need to have, that all of us want. Everyone needs the power of friendship in their life. So, let me ask you this. Do you have friends that are important to you? Do you believe friendship is important? How many of y'all think friendship is an important thing? All right. If I asked you right now to go ahead and name two or three or four or six friends that you would call, that you depend on, if you were going to save the world, who would you call? You think of a name? Think of somebody? Why don't you take about 30 seconds and share with your neighbor, okay, the name of those friends that you would call if you were to round them up to save the world. All right, go for it. Go ahead and talk about it. No, it's not. Okay, thanks. Hey. I did that on purpose to see who my friends are. Some friends are even so amazing that they will tell you that your fly is open when you begin your sermon. I'm telling you, friendships matter, Neil. Thank you. Sorry, I apologize to you. All right. Hopefully you can name some friends in your life. I automatically think back to my childhood days. Jim Herman, man, he lived down the street from me. We did everything together. Went to ball games, played Little League. We just were always at each other's house. After we moved to Florida, Bernie DeMoss, he lived down the street. We were just, man, always side by side. In fact, I've shared some stories that some are proud of, some I'm not so proud of, that Bernie and I share together. In college, I met my best friend, Keith Smith. And for 31 years, man, Keith is just right there on the other side of the phone. We do things together. It's just amazing. Maybe you have those kind of friends, and you can name those kind of friends as well. Friends were there. Man, they were there when I was growing up. They helped me when I moved to Florida. Friends told me about Jesus. They got me through college. They stood with me when I married my forever best friend, Lisa. In fact, my friends have helped me stay married to Lisa. Friends were there when my kids were born. We have parented together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've grown together. These are friends who will do whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Not to save the world, but to get through life. Friendships really do matter. And on the other hand, even in a room this size, with this kind of a crowd, I know that there are people who don't have those kind of friends. They would say that they're alone, that they're lonely. They have no true friendships that they can count on. Some of us think that having 1,000 friends on Facebook is, man, that we've just got every friend that we will ever need, yet when something goes wrong, something breaks in our house, or we need to get somewhere on time, we've got no one to call, no one to be there when trouble hits, and we'll lock arms with them and do whatever it takes to get them through. So what makes a good friend? What makes a powerful friendship? Which friends do you have that you can count on that will make your life better, especially when those hard times come? And how can the power of friendship be used to help the people that we love know Jesus better? These are some of the questions that we're going to answer during this series, Friendology. And when it comes to friendology, there's no better place to look than to God and to God's Word, the Bible. It's loaded with principles and stories that really will help us become awesome friends. In fact, a number of these stories, if hopefully you've picked one of these up already, it's in our Friendology series study guide. Grab one of these out at the Next Steps kiosk. You can also download these online. Just some great things that'll take you, and it'll also give you a sneak preview of the series that we're in. Bible's just loaded with these stories. It's amazing, and it helps us become awesome friends. As we study some of these examples, we're going to reflect back on our own lives, and I think about the power of friendship even last week. We know the power of biblical friendship when we live out these principles. I think about one of my best friends in the world, Jeff Jacobs. You know, he's home today. His mother, B, passed away last week. And Miss B was a great friend to so many people. And it showed as people just poured into her bedside over the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks, to visit with her. She was a great friend, and she made great friends. I think about our youth groups, our middle school and our high schoolers who depend on each other to get through school days and pray for each other and meet here during the week just to get that charge. I think about our adult small groups. Many of you made testimony last night at our marriage event. It was just amazing to hear those stories of friendship. You do life together. And some of y'all go on vacations together. You lean on each other, especially in the good times and especially in the bad times. That's because what the Bible says about friendship, it's life-changing. It's a game-changer, and how the church lives out friendship is a game-changer. It's life-changing, and we're going to see this in the weeks to come. And the ultimate game-changer, the ultimate life-changer, our hero, our leader, who has the most wisdom, the best example, the most power, the ultimate friendologist, is the one and only perfect Son of God who came to earth and walked here with us, Jesus Christ. While God was on earth, Jesus had friends. Man, all through his life, Jesus showed his followers the value of friendship, the power of friendship, how to be the best kind of friend, even better than Avengers, you know, style friendship. This is Jesus style friendship. And today we're going to look at a time in the Bible where it's at the end of Jesus's life and what he said about the value of friendship, what he said about the foundation of friendship. And the foundation of friendship is simply this: love. Love. If you have your Bibles today, go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. It's also in your sermon notes, so if you want to open those up, you can follow along, and it'll be on the screen as well. John 15, verses 12 through 15. Listen to the words of Jesus. He says, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Now, this word love, the foundation of friendship, is the word agape. It's the word he's using here. It's the very love of God. It's divine love. It's this self-sacrificing love. And Jesus says, greater love than no one has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. This word friends is a spinoff of the word phileo. It's a different kind of love that Jesus is talking about. The word phileo, it means that you have a brotherly affection for someone and that you love them. So the foundation of friendship, our foundation of friendship is love. We begin to build that foundation into these relationships called friendships. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So when it comes to friendship, love is the foundation. God is love. Jesus embodies that love. And here he gives the greatest rule for every single relationship that you'll ever have, and especially the foundation we need to have great friendships. Look at verse 12. Jesus' command: love each other as I have loved you. You do this and you will have great friendships. Jesus is saying to his disciples here, he's just pulling them in close, and he's saying, you have watched me love over the last 3 years. You've watched me. You've watched me love hurting people. You've watched me love the outcasts and the lepers, people that no one else would love. You've seen me. You've seen me love them. You've seen me love all kinds of people, male, female, rich, poor, young, and old, from all different kinds of backgrounds. You've seen me love them. And most of all, you've seen me love you. Guys, you've seen me love you. Remember? I met you wherever you were in life. I met you at that time, and I made you my friend. I don't fish, but we fish together. You needed purpose, and I called you. People told me I shouldn't be eating with you, Matthew, but I ate with you. You saw how I loved. I laughed with you. I cried with you. I served you. Remember? I washed your feet in that upper room. I taught you. I forgave you. I asked you questions. I answered your questions. I listened to you with truth and trust and grace. Man, Jesus says, I met you in your time of need, and I walked with you all the way to the cross. Do you see how I loved you? Love each other that way. Love each other the way that I have loved you. That love is the foundation of great friendships. Friendships are made by meeting people in their time of need and walking alongside of them. Man, I like to think back to the 120 or so passages in the Bible that start with one another. They have the words one another in them. This is love one another kind of friendship. 120 verses plus. If you want to make friends and keep them, man, if you want to be a great friend to somebody else, just stop right down now, okay, and write down these five words, all right? Love one another's in the Bible. One, two, three. Love one another's in the Bible. Write down those words. Go home and look those verses up and love people that way. Start doing that in your marriages, with your friends, at work, at school, and you will find friendships. I promise. You want to make friends and keep them? Be a good friend. Start there, and you will be friends with others. And Jesus goes on, speaking of being friends with others, he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I mean, this is truly, I mean, think of this is like Avengers Endgame, lay down your life kind of love and friendship. But it's not in a movie. It's not pretend. This is like real life stuff, all right? Jesus really did lay down his life for his friends, for all of us. I hope you know this. I mean, for the past 4 months, we have been talking and walking through the life of King Jesus and seeing how he lived, seeing how he gave his life for us. He was God. He models perfect love by giving his life, by giving his friends and living it right before their eyes and before our eyes. This agape love, the love that is sacrificial, love that is life-giving, love that is the foundation of our friendships. So as we think about this foundation of love, think about the relationships in which we build that love. Friendships. It's where we live it out. And the challenge here in this verse isn't whether you'll take a bullet for somebody. All right, that's noble, that's great. The challenge is daily laying down your life in sacrificial ways. You see, friends will lay down their pride. They'll apologize, even if it's not their fault. They go to each other. They speak man to man, face to face, woman to woman, face to face. Friends lay down a grudge and they forgive. They lay down their personal preferences and expectations. They serve, especially married couples. Lay down your life and serve one another, just like Jesus served you. Laying down our life might look like laying down our fear and just walking across the room and meeting somebody. Man, lay down your life. How about slow down your life? Slow down. Engage. Make eye contact. Introduce yourself. Lay down your agenda, your schedule, your privacy. Here's a good one for me, man. Lay down your frown. Lay down your frown. Smile. I mean, you start, just that's how friendships start most often. These are simple things, but a lot of times they're very hard things. It's hard because we have to trust. We've got to trust others, and being a friend requires trust. We've got to trust people with who we really are. Laying down your life means, yes, it's going to hurt sometimes. You've got to be ready for that. But love and friendship require that we take that chance. Bill Frawl said that how I love and how I allow you to love me will show you what my relationship with God is really like. How I love you and allow you to love me will show you what my relationship with God is really like. See, if we're not convinced that we need someone's friendship and love, then we're never going to experience that friendship and that love. And this is crucial. It's crucial to understand in the next few weeks as we learn and we do and we experience friendology. Love, this friendship, it really can change our lives, can change our church, even save the world. But if you're not convinced that you need someone's friendship and love, then you're never going to experience that friendship and love. But I hope you are. I hope you are convinced. We need love and friendship with others, and it starts with our friendship with God. It starts with our friendship with God. Look at verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." You're my friends if you do what I command. It sounds conditional, but Jesus isn't talking about conditional friendship. He's not saying that his disciples aren't loved, that they're not worth dying for. He's just giving a basic principle of friendology, okay? Especially friendology with God. Respect him. Jesus is saying respect who he is as God. Yes, respect him as a friend. He goes on, I no longer call you servants, servants who, you know, don't know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. I've called you friends for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So check this out. First, Jesus makes clear to them and to us that they're already friends. He's pulled his followers close, his disciples. He's given them great teaching. He's shown them great love. He's given them the inside track on the kingdom of God itself. And then, man, this is an amazing truth to just kind of wrap your head around. Okay, just think about this. Through Jesus Christ, God became friends with actual human beings. The God of the universe became friends with man through Jesus, the Creator. Friends, he has loved you. He loves you and I, and he has called you friends. Take that in. Just let that simmer. The God of the universe has said, I want to be your friend. Man, I can't help but think back to the day where, you know, I realized that my parents, my mom's birthday's today, so if you're listening to mom, I love you. My parents, you know, they created me, okay? They raised me, they disciplined me, they loved me, they did everything that parents do, they provided for me. But I remember the day where I kind of realized, what happened? We're friends now. Like when you were little, did you ever think you're going to be friends with your parents? You know, we're friends now. I mean, I love them for all the things that they did when I was a kid, and now I respect them, and I do what they ask. I do what they ask, not because I have to, but because that's what friends do, especially my parents. That's friendology. It's love. It's friendship. Look, God's not going to stop being your friend, your father, if you mess up, if you make him mad. God is not like one of your childhood friends who says, well, you're not my friend anymore. You know, every time you mess up, you're like, oh, great. That's not God. But Jesus says, if you do want to call yourself a friend of God, do what friends do. Respect him. Do what he says. So I've got to ask, are you a do whatever it takes friend with God? Then do whatever it takes to be friends with God. Trust him with your life. Today, that might mean being baptized into Christ, literally trusting him with your life as your forever friend. Giving your life to him once and for all, forever, and then doing what he says to do, because friends love each other enough to lay down their lives for each other, just like Jesus laid down his life for you. Friendology. Y'all, this is going to be a fun series. We've got so much we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. So come on back. I'm going to bring your friends. Two things I want to do for you real quick. I want to give you some resources, all right? In your bulletins and on the screen, there's some things you can look up. As I mentioned, there's a study guide you can pick up. Go Church is going over some of this stuff with you. You can do a Bible reading plan together. Jump into a small group, and there's no better way to learn about friendships than to do it with friends. You can do that starting this week, to start living this out and growing deeper. And one more thing we're going to do, and I hope you're ready for this, because I'm not sure how it's going to go, but man, we're just so excited because to really love and to really make friends that matter in real time, real life, real ways, we want to bring this home to where we really live. So I'm going to bring a special guest up, okay? A special guest up to kind of help land the plane today, all right? We're calling this our friendologist of the week. All right, so I want to introduce you to one of my best friends in the whole world, our youth minister, Eli Robinson. Let's give it up for Eli Robinson.
Thanks, Jeff.
You got it.
Friendologist. It's funny that Joe insisted on calling me this, because, and I asked him not to. Because in reality, like, I'm actually really bad at this. Like, Joe says that I'm a great friend, and I honestly don't even believe him when he says that, because I'm really not good at this. Like, especially in the last few years, my wife and I, can I give you guys some excuses? So my wife and I, we moved around a lot before we ended up settling here in Spring Hill, and we were kind of in this place for a year and then this place for a year, and I would start a job here and only be there for a year. So we made a lot of friends during that time, and then every time we moved, we lost those friends. And some of you guys probably know what that's like. So coming here and even settling, now that we've been in Spring Hill for 3 years, we've lived in the house that we're in for 3 years, we still just kind of struggle with this piece, with making friends. So it's funny that I would come out as the expert on this topic, because I'm really not good at it. But what I want to do is I want to invite you guys along with me to get better at this, to become a better friend, to become a better neighbor in specific. Because when I look back at, like, when I was a kid, and you guys, like, imagine in your mind when you were a child, like, when you were going through elementary, middle school, and high school, when I go back to those times, my closest friends were my neighbors, were the people that I grew up, like, around, like, the people next door, the people down the street. I even heard Joe say it. He said, my closest friends were down the street from me, my neighbor in college when you met Keith, like, all of these people, like, we were close to them by proximity before we were close to them emotionally. Like, we just, the people we became closest to were the people we were closest to, just by default. So when I look back at that, I see that common thread throughout, that my closest friends as a kid were just the people that I happened to be closest to. So what I want to present to you guys is this idea, this thing that we're calling the art of neighboring. Go ahead, pull your bulletins out. There is a thing that looks a lot like this. And each week, as we go through this Friendology series, Joe is going to present some amazing ideas. Some other people on their preaching team is going to come up, and they're going to communicate the why. You know, why do we care so much about friendships? Why does God care so much about friendships and real relationships? And why should we care as well? And we're going to give you guys different application pieces, different things to go home with, things to try with your friends, things to try with your church family in here in this room, and also things to try with some acquaintances, maybe some people you're close to, but not really that close to. And when I come up here, I'm going to be up here 3 different times throughout this series, and I'm going to talk about what it looks like to be a good neighbor. So if you guys would allow me to give you some neighboring advice as someone who's a terrible neighbor, can we do that? So I, like, these are kind of my misadventures I'll share with you guys, but I want to challenge you guys today. Fill in this grid. So your house is right in the middle. I want to challenge you to write the names of everybody around you. So this is the people across the street from you, the people next to you, and the people behind you. Now here's the thing. Some of y'all live out off of Centralia and Hexham and out in Lecanto where, like, all your neighbors are cows. But so you might have to get a little bit creative. Like, my neighborhood is weird, but my wife and I, we have been trying this over the last couple weeks. Across the street from us is one house, and then there's empty lots on either side. We have a neighbor next to us and another neighbor here, and then behind us is, like, 3 empty lots. There's 2 houses and an empty lot, and nobody lives there. So we had to get a little bit creative, so you may have to as well. Grab a pencil, grab a pen, try and write the names of 8 different families in your neighborhood. Go ahead and do that right now. Some of you guys are really good at this. Like, I know some of you guys are like, I'm the cookie lady. I'm the cup of milk person. Like, people come to me and they ask for these things. So some of y'all are really, really good at this. But I have a sneaking suspicion that if you're from my generation or younger, this stuff is really difficult, because we kind of grew up and our parents were like, don't answer the door for strangers. So guess what? As an adult, I don't answer the door for strangers unless I ordered a pizza, okay? So this kind of stuff is really difficult for us. But go ahead, try and fill those in, and I'll give you one thing that my wife and I have started doing to try and make this happen. See, we started a week ago, literally just 7 days ago, we knew 1 family in our neighborhood. It was our next door neighbors, and they are our landlord. So, like, it doesn't really count. And they go to church here, so we love them anyway. So like I don't know if they're in the service or not, but Baron, Lisa, Strobnicki, they're like the greatest people ever. We love them, but we became friends by default. Like, we had to be friends, and now we love each other. They were the only people we knew. So we decided we need to make friends. We need to figure out who our neighbors are because God cares so much about relationships, and we have to learn how to love where we live, right? So we started every day after dinner. We load up our daughter Hayden into the stroller, and we grab our dog Zoe, who's like a tiny furry dachshund, and we walked around the neighborhood with some intentionality in mind. We said we want to get to know the names of these people. Now, here's the thing: you can't cheat on this, okay? You can't put "Hey man" in any of those boxes because we all have "Hey mans" in our life, right? We all have these people that we fell into a rut of like, I forgot your name, so I just said "Hey man." And now I can only call you "Hey man," all right? So you can't do that. But we had a "Hey man" on our walk. We would go around, and there was a guy who also had a dachshund. And it's kind of like that, like when two bearded guys see each other at Walmart, you just kind of like, what's up? Like when you have the same kind of dog, it's the same thing. You're like, "Hey man, what's up?" So we had a "Hey man" on our walk, and a week ago we said, we need to learn his name. So with this art of neighboring stuff in mind. So we learned his name. His name's Jerry, and his dog has the coolest name ever. It's Rambo. So imagine a tiny wiener dog named Rambo. It's awesome. So we met Jerry, and then we met another lady named Messina, who also is a dog lover that did this, and then we met another family, and another family, another family. So now, just over the course of a week of deciding to walk around our neighborhood, we now know five different families that live near to us. And here's what's happened in my heart. My heart has changed completely. I went from just having a home and just having a place that I loved to go to bed, a place where I loved my backyard and my fire pit and watching my daughter run around, to now I'm starting to love the people closest to me. Starting to love where I live. And when I look back to when I was a kid, not only did I love where I lived, but where I lived loved me back. And this foundation that Joe is talking about of love for friendships was woven in and out throughout all of it. And that's the kind of life that I think God wants for us here on earth. And now here's what this is not. This is not a crusade to convert your neighborhood. Like, we're not asking people to go around, invite them to church or anything like that. We're simply saying, God, we understand that you want us to love the people that are closest to us, that you want us to love our friends, and it's got to start somewhere. So we're simply submitting to that idea that God wants us to love our neighbors with no other motives in mind. So I want to challenge you guys to do this. This is the first step. In a couple weeks, I'll come back and build on this with you all. So if you're already good at this, I'll get back to you in a couple weeks. But if not, I want to challenge you. Find out who lives closest to you. Find eight families. My wife and I are at five right now. Hopefully, we'll have eight by the end of the month, and I can share that with you guys then. But other than that, that's all we got for you guys today. Thanks for joining us here at CCW. Have a great week. Go and love where you live. Also, I've been told between services there's going to be a baptism. If you hang around, that would be great. But otherwise, have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.